It's a good old-fashioned landslide, killing with your hands tied in the homemade road, set sail, baby, read it in the mail, no hope now, and it's a total.
This is Brian Kernahan, and you are listening to Sissy Bad Life.
Hi, this is Atsuko from Shonen Life, and you are listening to WMFO in Medford, 91.5 FM.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Air Ball. You're listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO, Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. And we got the full cast today.
Yes, sir.
I guess let's just go around the circle real quick. Introduce yourselves. So, Swag.
I'm Owen.
I'm Matthew.
I'm Xander.
Jonah.
And I'm Luca. So.
And we are
Air Ball.
Also, just make sure that you're staying consistent. I listened to the old one. We have to make sure that we're always at the same distance from the mic. Otherwise, we have different levels of voices.
Yeah. So I guess you want to get a little closer, because
yes.
Yeah.
Should we start off with a would you rather?
I mean, there were yours, so I feel like you should.
Yeah.
Preface this show to those who aren't familiar with us and our takes and our banter. This is a basketball show, but we're trying to make it accessible to the people, to the Bostonians who may be listening. So
we're just a rowdy group of kids, and we're talking about basketball, and we're doing it right now, and it's 8 a.m., and we just got up.
We're doing it together.
Yeah. We love it.
Everyone who loves this sport.
Each other.
Yeah, you wake up, you think about basketball, you sit in your car, keep thinking about basketball, you think about the Celtics, you think about how they carry your family ambitions on their shoulders, think about Jason Tatum's back tattoo.
Back of the leg tattoo. Should we start off there?
I think it's pretty. Pull up that tattoo, though.
So Jason Tatum, for everyone who doesn't know, has a leg tattoo. Jason Tatum is a basketball player. He plays for the Boston Celtics. He has a leg tattoo that I would argue is one of the worst tattoos I've ever seen in my life. Because it says the word life in big block letters. And in each one of the letters is his favorite performance by an actor. His top four favorite performances. And so the top three are like, I forget exactly what the movies are, because they're like, one of them is an obscure Denzel Washington movie that I've never seen. And then I don't remember what they all are. But the top three are at least movies that people have seen that are like, whatever, action movies that he likes. Like, that's fine, whatever. But the E one is a curveball. The E one is, what's that kid's name, Dash?
From Incredibles.
From Incredibles. And what's funny is, like, so he was talking about it, he's like, yeah, no, it's my top four favorite performances. I'm like, that's not really a performance. That's like the animated, that's the character from this.
He has Scott McTominay on his leg.
Yeah.
So yeah, he is Denzel Washington as John Quincy Archibald in John Q.
Oh yeah.
He is Will Smith.
Where's Will Smith?
From Hitch.
I think he's the second.
Oh, you're right.
And he has Wesley Snipes.
And then
from White Man Can't.
Just to the left of the F, there's someone with a backwards hat, a little kid with a backwards hat.
Yeah. All right, not to hammer on too much at this point of Jason Tatum's tattoos, like another man's tattoos, but his back tattoo is also horrible. Like, it looks like one of those, like, 2K kids that got a bunch of VC for Christmas and was like, I'm going to drop it on my player's tattoos.
God's will?
God's will. I mean, he has some good ones, and I'm not going to critique him.
St. Louis, till the world blows.
Pretty loud. I don't
very
know.
Loud tattoos.
Very, very
It doesn't
loud.
Seem natural on him, like, no. at all. It feels like he just got VC upgrades.
He not got, unlike he got Jordan all Clarkson that VC.
I think I can't tell what thigh this is. This is his right thigh, maybe? But, it's a big mushroom cloud with St. Louis till the world blows.
That's pretty deep. That's hard.
So like, I argued that.
Like a nuclear provocation by Jason Tatum on behalf of his city. That's a bit crazy.
Till the world blows.
Let's transition to some would you rathers. We've got a good amount of them.
My favorite part of the show.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I saw one this morning that Matthew just brought up, but I guess we're coming off the dunk contest. Which celebrity would you most want to see get jumped over?
I thought about this a lot, actually. I can start us off. I have two answers. I want to see Jericho Sims jump over Vladimir Putin. That's number one on my list.
That's quite a political statement there. That's like propaganda almost.
That's the thing about it. Because I'm thinking, Jericho Sims. He hasn't done a lot. He has not proven himself very well.
He's a bouncy guy too. Like, you could imagine.
He's a bouncy guy.
Great college player, yeah.
And maybe, you know, we bridge the gap a little bit between our two nations. He dunked so hard over Vladimir Putin that he's like, all right, maybe I got to chill out. And at the same time, it's a political statement we've never before seen in the dunk contest. And
true.
I think like that's something that we're missing.
Yeah.
I would love to see him jump over Vladimir Putin. Maybe his thigh like hits Putin's head on the way up.
Like a little, hey.
Putin's like, actually,
oh, God. Humbling.
Was
experience.
That Jericho Sims?
Jericho Sims dunking over Vladimir Putin.
Jumpman
in the dunk contest?
Damn, it's better than jumping over Kai Cenat sitting down.
It's true.
Making a 3 foot tall obstacle to jump over.
I feel like you could like extend that over like to other rappers. You could get like a row of Kai Cenat, Lil Uzi, and Lil Wayne, and have them like all get jumped over. And then like Kevin Hart throws the lob, like a small.
It could have been done better.
And then it's Dennis Smith Jr. catching the lob and throwing it down.
Or Wembanyama dunking over these guys.
Oh my God, Wemby glazing.
By the way, guys, we're referencing the Jaylen Brown dunk in the dunk contest where he jumped over Kai Cenat, a short streamer,
but he's sitting down.
So he wants to
be a rapper. I don't know who the hell he is.
He's like, who cares?
Kai Cenat's like,
he's not a rapper.
A drippy little guy.
I'm thinking, I have another one. I'd like to see Caitlin Clark dunk over Elon Musk.
Well, that's good, too. That's a statement, too. And she tweets.
Yeah, she tweets that.
You say X's?
Yeah, X's. While doing it. While doing it. Yeah.
That was a funny duel. All
right. I like this one too.
Which one? Yeah.
I love this one too.
Let's hear it.
One on one. A 1v1. A swarm of bees or Buzz Lightyear, but he's after his prime.
Wow.
And my thinking is the swarm of bees, they have the normal physical properties of bees. Like, they don't have any special skills.
Yeah.
But they can make any shape they want because they're the.
Oh,
they're
swarm.
Got teamwork.
Yeah, bees. Yeah.
So. But Buzz Lightyear, I mean, he's mobile. He, like, can use his hands. He has, like, thumbs. He
can fly, no?
If he can fly.
Basically, he's Iron Man.
He's tiny. He's a
toy. And
Lightyear,
he's past his prime, right? So he's not, like, he can't move like how he used to move. Yeah.
We're talking, like, Toy Story 4.
It's like Celtics Shaq if he was a Toy Story.
Yeah. Shaq on the Celtics type.
All I know is that Buzz Lightyear has the heart that the bees don't have.
Ooh.
That's true. Literally. Okay. He has a heart that they don't. Or no, he actually probably doesn't.
He's
have
got one. He's got batteries, maybe.
He's got the batteries in the bees.
He's got
don't
the
have.
Batteries. The bees don't have. That's a good
know.
Point. I
because the bees can't even sting him because he's a.
Can Buzz Lightyear like shoot lasers or like?
In his prime. Yeah.
In his prime.
He had a blaster.
Oh, he did have a blaster.
Maybe he should change it to Woody.
Woody's past his prime. So that's the problem.
Yeah.
I've got a would you rather. Would you rather have Wembanyama with one arm or Hansel Emmanuel with two?
Oh my God.
You posed this to me earlier.
Yeah.
I think Hansel Emmanuel with two.
Is Hansel Emmanuel the same player with two limbs?
I think
limbs?
Hansel Emmanuel
great.
With two arms is so incredibly good.
Athleticism.
Yeah.
And then you get one Wembanyama arm, which is still like an insane
but
amount
if,
of what
yeah.
That's like,
if
like
Hansel
a
Emmanuel has two arms. It, are we just tossing an arm on him today, and he's got to figure it out, or his
like it's an uncoordinated arm that can't do anything because he has no muscle. No. I think with Hansel Emmanuel with an uncoordinated arm that's just there to like block like passes and shots, just to make him like a normal player. I think that's an NBA.
Does he still play like he has one arm though? Like
no, he'd be able to dribble with it, but he wouldn't be able to like I don't know like do some high skill moves with exclusively his left. But, like, you're saying, like, I'm just saying that, like, he has the ability to guard people normally because he has his other arm.
Which arm is the real one?
I think.
Left or right?
Right is his real one.
Yeah.
Real.
I mean, I think that sometimes. Yeah. Like, I think that if left biotech improved, I think Hansel Emmanuel or a player like him could get a bionic arm, and then that should be in the NBA. Like, I don't see what
would that
the,
be legal?
Winter Soldier.
If it's not, like, metal. Like, if they figure out how to, like, duplicate human flesh, and, like, and it's not, like. If it was a metal arm, that would be a hazard to everyone on the board.
Duplicate human flesh. Bingo today. That check. Duplicate human flesh.
Yeah. I mean, to the listeners who don't know, Hansel Emmanuel is an incredibly talented basketball player who plays for, I don't want to know, I don't. He's transferred a bunch of times, but he has
Central,
one on.
Central Kentucky? Maybe? I don't know. I could
basically,
be.
His NBA prospects like were dashed because
Austin
he has one on.
Governors.
But he's incredibly talented. If this could get two arms, he'd be a lottery
school,
pick.
Xander?
I don't, is this a school? I don't even know what this is. Austin P. Governors?
Whoa,
what is basketball? Yeah, it is a school.
Yeah.
Austin P. State University.
Of the A-Sun Conference.
What?
Like
shout out the Austin P.A.
Bellarmine.
Governors.
Bellarmine has one of the most elite offenses in college basketball.
I did not know that.
Yeah, they're like a notably efficient college offense. The more you know. All right. Huh.
Listen, no one answered the, question. No one answered the question.
Oh, is it sleep day?
Oh, no one answered what question?
I would take Wemby.
Wemby's just a blocking machine. It has to be Wemby. Like, he's going to get the blocks with one arm anyway.
Plus, he's going to figure out how to play with one
arm.
It's
still
an
NBA player.
Be elite.
He'd honestly get more blocks per game because he'd be mostly focusing on just getting blocks.
Yeah, he'd be taking the Sochan free throws, and then the whole team would start doing it. You get, like, the whole Spurs roster shooting with one arm as, like, a statement.
I think going off of this Wemby segment, I like this one, that Chet versus Wembanyama, they both only have thumbs. So is this
they
like
five
is this, is, yeah? Is this like five thumbs?
Thumb.
They just have like one thumb.
Like, I mean, just one thumb.
One thumb.
They each only have one.
It's
thumb?
It's a toss up, dude. That's like taking two. It's like
that's terrible.
Who has an index finger and a thumb?
Whose jumper is
going to
be better?
Oh,
who has bigger hands?
Oh, good question.
Probably Wemby.
Probably Wemby.
I feel like Wemby. Yeah.
He could probably palm the ball with just a thumb and an index
banana.
Finger.
His thumb is kind of like a hand in itself.
Wembanyama.
Yeah, for
how big would a thumb have to be to palm a basketball without any other hands?
Oh my god.
Wow.
Probably pretty big.
Yeah, you have to get a wrap around
really have to,
grip.
Yeah.
Yeah, the size of
these
my
are the
middle finger.
Questions.
Yeah.
Yeah. They both have really nice jumpers though, like.
Yeah.
Considering their height.
Did you see the Wemby like look away three the other day?
Yeah. I mean, it was kind of not on purpose cuz he went for a rip through and he just knocked into him. So you just backed up and be like, all right, I'll just shoot this three.
I'll shoot the three.
I'll just get this train in your face. That's how he I mean, he's too good because even if he messes up his dribble, he can still just take one step back and shoot it over anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen so many clips of him just plays completely dead, can't get by the guy, and just puts it up and he hits it every time.
This is why we got to get Taco Fall back in the league just to guard Wemby.
Taco Fall was not that type of player.
He was literally like the NBA circus player. Like Brad Stevenson would bring him out if the crowd got loud
for granted.
If only if they were up 20 and the crowd made enough noise, you'd get it.
What did Chet say?
We want Taco.
54 from Trey Ball shooting only hang pulls. You didn't see that quote?
I didn't
see it. Chet had like one of the most hilarious quotes.
Sorry, I didn't see like, Chet Holmgren.
No, it was a big deal. 50 from...
Really?
50 from Trey Ball is OD shooting hang pulls. And he got 8 online because people were like, is he like a 12-year-old boy? Like,
he probably even talks so much
he's
trash.
He's like in Kaisenat's chat. Like, 50 from Trey Ball is OD
he's
shooting
in Kaisenat's chat.
That's funny.
Jonah, you have some crazy takes about Wembanyama. I feel like you're one of the biggest Wembanyama fans I know, honestly. So, you want to speak a little bit about that?
Yeah,
Jonah take of the day.
Jonah's got some crazy basketball takes.
Oh,
you know?
Okay. Oh, yeah, Wembanyama.
When it comes to Wembanyama, at this point in the year, I would take him over every single center other than Jokic and Embiid.
Oh my god.
Every single one. I don't think any center except for Jokic and Embiid are Sabonis. Better than Sabonis.
Cat is out of the picture.
Better than
Sabonis
Cat.
Is out
better
of the
than
picture.
Better than Bam Adebayo, better than Jaren Jackson. He's better than all these guys. He's already lapping them.
That's crazy.
Do you think he's better than them like right now as a part of a team or do you think he has the potential
even
to
care
I think he already is better. I think the fact that his team is so if you look at the stats, he's averaging basically the same stats as
he's
those
on
guys
the Spurs.
If not more. He's on the Spurs and he's averaging like in per 36, he's leading the league in like a ton of different categories. He just plays like 27 minutes a game because Pop is guarding his body, which you could make the argument that he couldn't play those minutes if he had those like his body would break down. But I don't think that's actually what it is. I think he's just being conservative. And the less he plays Wembanyama, the better the draft pick he gets. If he was playing 35 minutes a game, the Spurs would be a winning team.
Who do you think the best player...
Have you looked at the on-off stats, dude? As soon as this man leaves the court, the team falls apart.
That makes sense.
I know, it makes sense. That's why there should not be a...
Yeah.
But that speaks to how good Wembanyama is. If you put Wembanyama on an average... Yeah,
who do
you
think, though...
If you put Wembanyama on a good playoff team, they would win the title this
who's
year.
Who's the best player that could play alongside Wembanyama right now in the league?
Right now? Halliburton. Yeah. That was a no-brainer.
That would be nuts.
Halliburton and Wembanyama would possibly be the greatest duo of all time.
Oh my god. That would be crazy.
Like better than Jordan and Pippen. Better than Kobe and Shaq.
Yeah, I was gonna say
Halliburton
like,
and Wembanyama.
Like it has to be like an assist first guard.
Probably Trey.
It's gotta be like an assist
would
first
be crazy.
Trey.
That
would be crazy.
Tyrese.
Halliburton.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Hope that take was
dude,
hot.
Brunson?
Yeah. I'm very high on him. Brunson and Wembanyama, I'd rather have Halliburton.
Wemby on the Knicks. How far are they go?
Please
come on.
Wemby on the Knicks.
Yeah. Far.
You want some more takes? I don't think the Timberwolves should re-sign Kat. I think they should cast him to the Wolves.
He said this.
Hey, they are the Wolves. But that doesn't make sense.
Oh my god.
I don't
think this like the first episode.
Yeah, I truly really believe it. I think that.
That's crazy.
What's your beef with Kat?
Anything Kat can do, Nas Reed can basically
do. Oh, I agree.
And you can
big
pay
Nas
Reed less.
Nas Reed's fan.
That's crazy. Yeah.
Nas Reed's in Jelly Fam.
Yeah, I was watching this man the other night.
Filet.
Nas Reed took over the game. It was like watching like
LSU
what
Legends.
I thought Kat should be.
Wait, this would you rather is so funny. Bass Wembanyama versus Bol Bol with Draymond's temperament.
I wrote this one, so let me
that
elaborate.
Doesn't make any
no, let me explain.
Bol with Draymond's temperament is like a worse Bol Bol.
It wouldn't be like Bol Bol, but he has like a good work ethic. It would be Bol Bol, but.
Just like an absolute.
But he's just a
animal.
Menace, and
yeah.
He like instigates fights, and everyone's scared of him to death.
He's throwing himself around the paint.
Victor Wembanyama just had it as is right now, or Bol Bol, but he gets ejected every other game. Just as good as he currently is.
Can we talk about Bol Bol? He's getting good. Like he had. Okay, I'm gonna pull up his stats the other night. He had like 25 minutes. He actually like 25 minutes for Bol Bol is like.
He dropped 25.
Yeah, dropped 25.
With 14 rebounds. Wow.
And the way he was
and
doing
he
it, there's a confidence that he's beginning to play with that is a bit scary. And I'm starting to believe that Frank Vogel is keeping him on the bench as some sort of secret weapon. That
just
he's
a
building
lack
in a
of
lab.
Consistent minutes, like you. Yeah. Except for last game he had 24, but.
I think that he's going to, in the playoffs, he's going to basically play in the whole game. And I think if you watch the film, he's now like a new player. Like, he plays confidently and decisively. And he's like, he grabs and goes. Like, he gets the ball in the perimeter, he's instantly attacking. And it's kind of crazy to watch. It's almost like watching Chet, but like slightly bigger.
Mm. Mm.
I feel like they have him listed as a center. I feel like he's like he plays like a small forward shooting guard.
Yeah.
But he's just 7'3", so.
Well, we all know what Shaq thinks of Bol Bol too, right? What was that quote? It was like that he could be Wemby pretty much.
Yeah. There's little flashes, man. Where, like, some
are.
Of the dunks that he makes are like the only. Him and Wemby are the only guys who are like basically dunking from close outside or from outside of the restricted area.
Yeah.
Like,
Boban, easily. Too. Boban used to do that.
But it wasn't like as fluid. Like, they don't attack off the rip and then like dunk from outside of the box. That's ridiculous.
I mean, it's
and
just it's freaky.
Bol Bol, he's not a good rebounder at all.
No.
Like, he can't.
Not as much of a paint presence
and,
in general.
I watched him play in high school and. He like was playing in the national championship. He played LaMelo Ball in like the California state championship, and he had under 5 rebounds.
This was Spencer Freeman.
This was Spencer Freeman, and Spencer Freeman was like cooking, was carrying it modern day, and Bol Bol had like I don't know under 5 rebounds or something. It was like I could go out there and grab more rebounds. Than
this I think this is where Jonah's thought of putting in Draymond's temperament came in.
Oh.
Because it makes him a paint presence. Yeah. And
I was just thinking he like gets in fights and like kicks people.
Another hot take from this. I think that having an instigator on your team that is willing to get suspended and like risk their own reputation and like kick players and like the opposing team's players in the groin while they're on the ground in the playoffs, that is a net positive for your team.
I think so.
Like
I don't know if this is a hot take, but I think it's...
I think in hockey teams understand this.
Yeah.
And basketball teams kind of shy away from it because there's like a stigma around a player just being violent. But like if you look throughout history, like
Pat Bev's always on a playoff team.
Yeah.
There's always these moments in a series where a nice little cheap shot will win you the series. Like Robert Horry did in 2007, I want to say, against the Suns.
Yep.
He broke Steve Nash's nose.
Yep.
And that was the turn. And he basically, not only did he
that
break Steve Nash's
series.
Nose, Stoudemire gets in a fight. Then proceeds to get suspended for the next game, which they won, all for Robert Horry giving a little cheap shot. That one moment, they basically swung the series. And if you have a guy that's willing to do that, it's like an insane advantage. As immoral as it is to just be violent, like winning is winning, no?
Yeah.
Suspension
yeah.
is the price of a win. Like, damn, like give me that every day.
I would love, like when Pat Bev was on the Clippers, it was so fun to watch the games because he would just put as much effort as you could possibly imagine into like every defensive possession.
Do you remember that game one against the Warriors? This must have been 2018 maybe. Serious. Game one against the Warriors. Him and KD are just going at it. And they both get ejected. Like if you're the Clippers and you lose Pat Bev, but the Warriors lose KD, like that's a good trade off.
Yeah.
Pat Bev was just out there fouling.
Yeah.
35 straight minutes. I remember I'd just be like, as a Clippers fan, I'd be watching playoff games and being like, just keep him away from anyone who has the ball because he's just going to foul.
But he finds a way to win.
And they don't call it, like, they just don't call it on him because they're like, if we called fouls on Patrick Beverly, then we'd just be blowing the whistle every 10 seconds. Yeah.
He finds a way to win, though.
It's true. Very true.
Yeah. I mean, what do you guys think? Would you rather have a team full of guys with Pat Bev's temperament or a team full of guys with Kawhi's temperament?
Well, Kawhi's temperament's a different thing.
I think it's more like Kat's temperament. Yeah.
God, that'd be so annoying. Like, a full team of Pat Bev's would be, like too much dog. That'd just be, like,
too much dog.
Too much, like, energy and anger.
Rejections every game.
It'd be so entertaining. If I was a GM, I would just build the Pat Bev-esque team. I would get, like, Pat Bev, Draymond.
Dylan Brooks.
Xavier Tillman. Get, Isaiah Stewart. Miles Bridges.
Dylan Brooks, six man.
Probably Josh Primo, seventh
Dylan
man.
Brooks. Josh Primo.
Oh, wow.
Josh Primo seems like a nice guy, though. I have no idea what he is.
I actually want to talk about Josh Primo. Because
what about Josh Primo?
let's not talk about him. No, he's great at reading
defense. Not much to talk about.
Exposing the D.
Yeah. I think we can go into some leap day stats. Good time.
Oh yeah, happy leap, happy leap day.
Happy leap day.
Only happens every 4 years.
Yeah, I was looking at the last leap day we had with the NBA looked like. Bucks were leading the Eastern Conference, and the Western Conference, the Warriors were in dead last.
Wow.
Dead last.
Were those like
this was just before COVID. Injured. We're about 2 weeks before COVID happened. So let's see, that night Rockets beat the Celtics by 1 with Robert Covington, Daniel House Jr., PJ Tucker, Russell Westbrook, and James Harden was still on the Rockets in 2020.
That was a fun team.
That was so fun.
That Harden block on Lou Dort in the bubble.
Yeah.
That was facts. I was like,
he was fat too. He looked like a homeless man.
This is just before bubble TJ Warren as well.
Bubble TJ. He iconic had, NBA player. Yeah. Bubble TJ Warren.
He had 30 on the Cavs this day.
Damn.
It's weird.
What about depression? Where do we think we'll be by the next leap day? What new technologies will we have invented for NBA basketball? Oh,
everyone's going to be wearing an Apple Vision Pro while they're playing, and they're going to have plays. The coach is going to be putting plays on the Apple Vision Pro.
They're going to be in Yosemite while simultaneously playing a basketball game.
Also, speaking of leap day, happy birthday to Tyrese Halliburton.
Yeah.
He's turning, what is he turning
six,
today?
Right?
Six years old. The youngest player in the NBA, Tyrese Halliburton. I mean, he's young and his fashion is old. It's perfect.
Yeah, and his voice changes when he speaks. Have you heard that?
That's kind of gangster. I like that.
Yeah.
He switches between two.
It's pretty cool. It's pretty sick.
It's like Carlton Towns does the same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, on
I kind of wish
day,
it was never
you,
pointed out to me, but.
What do you do? Do you celebrate your birthday on the 1st of March and the 20th of February? Like, what do you. It's like a horrible
people,
situation.
They do both. They get two birthdays. I guess it's kind of cool, but at the same time.
And then every 4 years, you throw like a massive rager on leap day.
Yeah, that hits.
Massive rager.
Halliburton was quoted as saying, it's exciting to have a real birthday. In school, that was always my give a fun fact about yourself that was mine growing up.
That's a pretty good fun fact.
Yeah.
It's like a bailout, though.
Yeah.
Some people have a bailout for a fun fact.
I have a bailout fun fact. Which is
same,
I'm colorblind.
I do too.
And every time someone asks me a fun fact, I just don't even have to think about it. Just right off top, I can always say I'm colorblind.
But it also works for two truths and a lie. Like, I'm colorblind, I was born on leap year, and I don't know what the third one is. But those are two good lies. For anyone
you
who needs
need a lie, just say you were born on leap.
If you're playing two lies and a truth, then you can always just say
anything, and then you're one truth. Say any other thing.
I would argue that the difficulty in playing two truths and a lie is not coming up with two lies.
Yeah. Oh, for me, that's always the problem. And I usually lie all three times. You never let them know you're next. we have Oscar Robertson playing the most points in the game on
leap day.
Hosting the most points in the game on February 29th with 43 versus the Sixers.
Is that more impressive? I mean, Jerry Lucas with 40 rebounds in that same game.
Oh, my
game.
God.
Wow.
That has to be one of the most ridiculous-looking stat lines.
What were the 60s?
40 rebounds.
Jerry Lucas. Let's see.
I think this calls for basketball reference.
He was seeing it coming down. He was seeing the mark on the ground. No, that's 40
yeah.
rebounds.
40 rebounds.
10 a quarter.
Wild. Jonah, that's like in the game we played this last Sunday. Jonah and I played an intramural game this last Sunday, intramural basketball. We played against some rowers that were like twice our height and bullying us in the paint. And
don't say they were bullying us. They were not bullying us.
Jonah got a little heated with one of the players, and it didn't. So
there was no bully. The only bullying that happened was me to their egos on the bench as their coach was failing to coach.
They were just fouling us.
Jonah with
that was a bad play call.
Or a rowing, a row team member with one arm and no thumbs.
Jonah with the temperament. Jonah had the temperament that
I already,
game.
Yeah, I don't, it's not.
Jonah
even,
already not has that temperament.
Yeah, for when I get on the basketball court, I turn into like, just like an angry person. Like in The Incredibles, like the baby. When he gets mad, that's me on the basketball court.
Callback.
Yeah, little threads of memory within our episode.
Oh, wow, beautiful.
Connecting to the present. All right, let's continue.
Yeah, we do have to read the PSA soon, so y'all should look through it and pick one.
Oh.
Yeah, I guess now could be that time.
If
you'd like. We're midway through the show. I gotta go blow my nose though, so.
Yeah, please.
Knock that out. Knock that out. Swiggle.
Alright.
It doesn't really matter. Yeah. I mean they're all valid causes.
I just want a new one.
We just love
talk about things. What the fuck? Alright.
Just why?
I like this.
Just sit.
So, PSA, Somerville free hearty meals for all. Come build community over delicious, nutritious, and free monthly meal in Somerville's Davis Square. Every dinner always includes vegetables along with a nutritious and filling main course, plus coffee and dessert. Hearty meals for all. Host these free meals for everybody who stops by on the second Friday of every month from 5 to 7 p.m. at 31 College Avenue in Somerville. For absolutely no money at all, guests can enjoy a sit-down meal and socialize with other attendees, or even take a free packaged meal with them to eat later. Vegetarian options available upon request. Everybody is welcome. For more information, visit heartymealsforall.org. That's heartymealsforall.org. This is a public service message from WMFO Radio in Medford, Tufts Community Radio, and HeartyMealsForAll.org.
Go get them hearty meals, y'all. Go get them sweet potatoes, them broccolini,
bacon, grits,
some asparagus, them the Lakers.
The Lakers. You want to segue to that? Huh? Do you want to talk with the Lakers?
Oh, last night?
Can I have like a
sad just, night for me?
I was the only one not. I don't watch the game.
So. Jonah, hit it.
Yeah, you give me like 30 seconds to just espouse how happy
He's
I
gonna
am.
He's going
to
start
how
crying,
thrilled
everybody.
I was.
Give us your whole spiel.
He's
going to
start crying.
Why don't you get started?
Let me give some context for this game. The Clippers are the most pathetic team in Los Angeles, and they have recently spent $4.2 billion building
a new.
Okay, sorry.
Those are two teams.
Maybe the Chargers, to be honest, but we don't need to go there. They've just built a new stadium to supposedly revive their fan base and to create a beautiful environment to view a Clippers game in. And the reason they did that is because every time they play in Crypto.com, previously known as Staples Center, they get booed and the Lakers fans take over their own home games. The one problem is that in the Intuit Dome, the same thing is going to happen. And as we do what we did to Intuit Dome.
Because you walk into it, right? It's the, you walk
yeah,
into it. Yeah,
in the game, you're
not
really
all
into
related
it.
To the company Intuit.
But I think every time the Lakers and Clippers will play in the Intuit Dome, the same thing will happen as it did last night, where LeBron will take over games.
Is LeBron going to own the Intuit Dome?
I don't know.
Okay, I was crying tears of joy during that game. Like, it was like watching a young LeBron cook Gilbert Arenas in the playoffs. It was like watching, like, LeBron cook Paul Pierce. It was just another, like...
I was getting the flashbacks.
I was getting LeBron playoff. Prime flashbacks. There was a certain swagger to which he played. He marched to the beat of his own drum
thing,
in that
like,
game.
I feel
beautiful.
Like he can turn it on whenever he wants. It's just that he doesn't really care. Like, there are some games that, like, he'll literally just coast through.
Mm-hmm.
And then he could just flip the switch and be, like, back on the Heat headband with the hairline.
I wish we could get a stat of NBA teams' record in their first game in their new stadium.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because I'm I wonder if there's an added pressure on there that makes a team lose that first game.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to get blown out by like 40. That would be a bad day.
Warriors got blown out by 19 in the new Chase Center.
It would be a crazy scheduling error to schedule Lakers Clippers on day one of the next season.
Oh, wow.
No. Like, I bet Steve Ballmer has actively asked them not to do it because he knows what would happen if they lost. Yeah. It would be the most hilarious moment in NBA history. Like,
I don't think he's thinking that.
I think 100% he is. This man self-financed billions of dollars worth of stadium.
Keep going. I don't think that Steve Ballmer's like sitting in his office like he's like Mr. Burns type plotting and is like, yeah, if I schedule Lakers Clippers, then that'll backfire. The whole, all of the Intuit Dome, all of Inglewood will riot against him. Like Robin Hood restoring.
Lakers Clippers.
I think he's just like whatever Clippers matchup shows up on that date, that's gonna happen.
I think going off the Clippers, it's time to address a little new logo change.
The elephant in the room.
Yeah. I think it looks like a yacht float.
You know what? Yacht club or not, I think it looks kind of cool. I like it. You know, it has all the aspects of... People didn't even know what a Clipper was. I've already had to explain it to multiple people. I knew what it was because I'm a diehard fan. But I don't know. I think it's cool. The jerseys are cool.
I don't like the border around it. I like just as the C.
It looks like a FC Clippers.
Yeah.
Am I crazy? It looks like a baseball team almost.
Yeah. Well, I think this is just where American sports logos are going, but...
They're so bad.
It's just so minimalistic, but I think this one, I think what it's going to look like is without that like ring of the Los Angeles Clippers around it, it's just going to be that C with the Clipper in it.
I think that looks better.
That's better.
And to be honest, like
it's
look at that. If you look at the other Clippers,
the OG
logos,
one, I kind
of the
like
OG
that.
One's nice, but it's a copy of the Lakers.
Yeah.
And then the other one we just had was just like the most whatever logo ever.
This is a copy.
And
the 70s logo, 70s Clippers logo. Is so
Buffalo cool. Clippers.
Yeah.
It's the San Diego Clippers, and it's like
After the
It's like an abstract. Like it looks like a Clipper, in that it's like I think it's supposed to be three sails, but it's not like. It's like more abstract. It's like got cool colors.
I don't like the Clippers logo. I actively
I don't either.
You literally 2 days ago loved it.
No. I've had time to deliberate on my stance on the new logo.
The C looks like a horseshoe.
I don't care about the aesthetics of it. I care about the team's branding. And I think that for Steve Ballmer to, for years, say that we're like the... Oh my gosh. Sorry about that, if that hurt your ears. For years, he builds up the Clippers as this like hard, real LA team in contrast to the glitzy, glamoury Lakers who were gold and purple. The Clippers wore black and they like had a gothic font and they were really scary and stuff. Then there's billboards everywhere. In LA, the Clippers financed a ton of courts and they tried to really like show the communities that they cared. The communities did not care. They didn't care at all. They're still Lakers.
Wait, but what's your point? Doesn't make sense.
No, but now they're rebranding to a literal yacht club. There's such a contradiction in that. Like,
no, they're just making their logo. Their team is based off of a ship.
For those picking up on some sort of LA rivalry here, Xander, Matthew, and Jonah are all from Los Angeles, by the way.
Matthew and I are two of the five existing Clippers fans on the planet, and we're two of the four at Tufts University.
Yeah, there's literally four. Yeah. We're in a group chat with them. There's four people in this group. They're like, add who you know. We're like, all right, we're not adding anyone, I guess, because we don't know
any
anyone.
Clippers fans.
My
you know,
dad,
there's
like my dad. He's not even a Clippers fan though. He just like will support me while we're watching basketball
emotionally.
Yeah.
But here's the thing: you in there mentioned that the Clippers have dark gothic jerseys, as if we didn't wear. That's like we had that. First of all, those were really cool. Those like GTA font jerseys.
Yeah, those were great.
Second of all, that was like our alternate jersey. That like we haven't had. For most of our history, we've had no dark jersey. It's been just blue and white, or blue and red.
Yeah. I mean, I think the reason they didn't want to go down that route is because it's too similar to the Nets. And the Nets are just the Clippers of New York. And they never will receive respect, and they'll never compete with the Knicks, just like the Clippers will never compete with the Lakers. And to have a black and white color scheme as the B team in a big city is just too much of a direct reference to the pathetic Nets by the pathetic Clippers.
The Clippers came first, though.
Then the Lakers?
No.
Then the Nets. Yeah, but they didn't have a black and white color scheme. And the Nets didn't either, so they both rebranded to black and white in some sort of, like, prisoner-esque stance.
Wow, so the prisoners of L.A.?
I mean, yeah, the B team in any big city definitely has a sort of, like, depressed mindset.
Can we get, like, a sports analogy to the Clippers are to L.A.?
What, like, North Korea is to China?
Well,
that's first of all, that's
let's not go.
Speaking of the New York Jets are to New York.
Wait, I thought of another celebrity that I want to get jumped over.
No, yeah, not really. Actually,
you don't think
Paul
so?
Paul Dano. Have you guys seen?
Paul Dano, not the best.
Look up Paul
guy.
Dano.
Paul
Dano's in Prisoners.
God.
That's why I thought of.
Oh my god.
Paul
that
Dano's
is such
in,
a great call.
He plays the Riddler.
This is hilarious.
And I would like to see some random player jump over Paul Dano. But it's, I think like if we see Sam
Briante Weber jumping over Paul Dano.
Briante Weber. It's a real throwback.
LiAngelo Ball jumps over Paul Dano in a dunk contest.
What happened to LiAngelo Ball? Like,
he's in Mexico.
He's in Mexico.
Yeah,
he
played. I saw a video of him playing the other day. Put up some threes. It looked like a high school gym, if I'm gonna be honest. Like, it looked like he had just shown up at some random high school gym and there was a crowd and someone labeled it pro basketball. But it's unfortunate. He's existing. At least he's still hooping. Good for him. Who knows where he'd be had he not stolen in China, but
I'm glad he's not shoplifting anymore. That phase of his
reformed
life.
You guys know that clip of from Ball in the Family where it's like the ones with tattoos can't trust them from LaMelo Ball.
I do know that.
So every time I think of LiAngelo Ball, I think of that clip.
Yeah, I don't know.
I wonder how many steals he averaged per game.
Oh,
on or off the court?
Yeah. That's a big what too. If he didn't steal in that one time in China. Not that he was like NBA.
I don't know if it is that big of a
what. Like, what would happen? What is like? What do you think?
Well, I mean, G-League
Wembanyama might have never made it to the league.
There's like a butterfly effect, right? Yeah. Because Trump pardoned LiAngelo Ball. He basically pulled LeVar Ball. This is a crazy moment in American history. LeVar Ball calls up the president, asks the president of the United States, Donald Trump, to release LiAngelo Ball from China. And Trump makes backdoor diplomatic calls with Xi Jinping to remove LiAngelo Ball from a Chinese jail.
Wow.
I feel like
it's a real thing
that
happened.
For LiAngelo Ball.
Yeah, no, this is true.
Like, it's insane.
Yeah, but LeVar Ball wouldn't thank Trump after his son was freed.
What? Wait, that's crazy. We don't need to get political.
Oh,
shows,
that's
like,
a good dunk.
To
one.
Not thank the president after he pardoned your son.
Brittany Griner jumping over
crazy.
The guy that she got swapped with.
What's it like? The arms dealer,
like the god of war or something?
Like Merchant of Death.
There you go.
That's insane.
Brittany Griner off the backboard over the Merchant of Death.
That's insane.
And stares him down afterwards.
That should have been an all-star event. Brittany Griner 1v1 with DeMarcus
Cousins.
Would
it go before? Yeah. Would it go before? After this Sabrina Ionescu show.
I don't know. It depends on
how. I don't know.
It'd have to go after.
It'd
have to go after. It'd leave more than one.
That would be... I would love to watch a Boogie versus Brittany
matchup. I don't think it'd be very close, but who knows?
I'd watch it. I think it'd be good.
Sabrina's... Brittany's gone through a time in jail in Russia, and that could make you stronger than anybody else. So.
Yeah, maybe she should adopt the nickname the Merchant of Death for herself.
All right, let's change the topic.
I don't know. Damn, Prime Boogie was.
Well, I think I've always been a fan of the dumb stats, and I saw one the other day. It was Luka's the first player in NBA history with a 30-point. Triple-double on his birthday, which honestly I'm surprised hasn't happened before.
Yeah, you would think
there's
like
so many guys who've had 30-point triple-doubles.
Yeah,
it's just a matter of do they do it on their birthday.
And on your birthday you have like, I don't know, I feel like you have another sort of power. It's sort of like you open up like another chakra of just like just like
Luka called this. Luka texted me and was like,
Bro, I
got Luka on his birthday, he's gonna go off. We got like another all-time performance from Luka.
Should we talk about Luka's his recent...
Oh, no, we can't condone any of that. We can't condone any of that on the Rita.
I had a nice success last night. But
we can't condone any of that. We don't...
Yeah,
obviously,
we do
not...
No.
Nobody
do
here
not.
Gambles.
No.
Nobody does that.
Definitely not.
Please do not.
This is a bit random, but there's a little bit of basketball history that I want to share. Jerry Lucas, who on Leap Day, years and years ago, had 40 rebounds, was known for his secret weapon, which was his mind.
Oh, wow.
As he said. He said... He could store incredible amounts of information. I knew everybody shot in the NBA, he said. I knew where they liked to shoot from. I knew the arc of their shots. I knew who boxed who and who didn't. He received 150 scholarship offers. Academic
what?
ones. he said he wanted to go to school in Ohio, and Ohio State was the only school that talked about academics first.
Damn. He's just a smart guy.
He teamed with John Havlicek in one of the top recruiting classes. For any big old Celtics fans, John Havlicek, famous Celtics player.
Interesting.
Yeah, and in an era where freshmen were ineligible to compete at the varsity level, he led the Frosh team to victories over the varsity. Jerry Lucas, beast mode.
Jerry Lucas, come on our show.
Yeah.
I know you're 83, but like...
I'm looking at his draft. They did it by territory back then. 1962, came out of Ohio State and selected by the Cincinnati Royals because of a territorial pick. It was a special type of draft choice by the BAA. Yeah, so territorial picks. You went to the team closest to you.
That's crazy.
Damn, that's crazy.
Oh, imagine the team. Imagine the league right now if there were territorial picks.
I mean, it kind of ended up like that with the Clippers roster. If you think about it, like all the LA guys are their four best players.
Where's Terrence Mann from?
Probably
Chicago?
Not
Chicago. Why don't I say Chicago? I don't know. I might be wild.
Oh, he's from Brooklyn.
Oh, BK.
Yeah.
And to conclude this little bit of history, Lucas found spiritual fulfillment after his friend recommended him the Bible.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Good for him. God, it's just a really beautiful story.
I'm reading now that like he could memorize parts of the Bible, and just like this guy who had an encounter with him was like, he would memorize like the names of 800 different people. He's an absolute genius. I wouldn't be surprised if his IQ was in the 200 range.
Yeah. So what about Jerry Lucas the glazing and Draymond's temperament, or Draymond Jerry Lucas's
temperament? Lucas draft, has also written more than 30 books, and he gives seminars on memory training.
Wow.
So not only is he,
I didn't even know this guy existed.
He's
good. He's mixed legend.
Yeah, so I mean, his biggest stat is still that 40-rebound game, but he's nearly equaled that in terms of the amount of books released. So, little tidbits on Jerry Lucas.
This is a great NBA draft, 1962. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 Hall of Famers in 16 picks.
Wow.
Chet Walker, John Havlicek, Zelmo Beede. Oh, Jerry Zelmo Lucas Beedie. And
Zelmo.
Zelmo Beede was good. That's like a hoop grid player.
Zelmo Beede. Huh.
Hoop grids?
Not today. Doesn't work.
I'm doing it myself.
I found a new game that's like the New York Times connections, but it's basketball. It's not as good as the...
What's it called?
It must be so hard.
It's not hard.
What is it called?
It's called like... Oh, it's called Le Connections.
Le Connections? No way.
Le Connections?
Yeah.
You know Jan Loudermilk?
Loudermilk?
Yeah.
I know that last name.
Loudermilk? Because there's
Jan
offensive
Loudermilk.
Lineman.
Loudermilk.
Why? Who's
you had a summer camp with a kid.
Jan Loudermilk. You don't know Jan Loudermilk?
Oh, is that a Hoover?
I've seen this
by
game.
The Lakers, fourth round.
Is that Aotis?
I don't know Jan Loudermilk.
The Lakers.
Oh! Should we talk about the Knicks? The Knicks protest of their February 12th game getting rejected.
It got rejected.
But has it ever not gotten rejected?
It also no. They just protested. Like the protest is just like a statement.
Wait,
like,
explain it. Explain.
We
the,
disagree the with the
okay,
result
so the
of this game.
The Knicks protested a loss to the Rockets, in which there was a call that was. It was a bad call that was admitted. Ooh,
the like last the refs, call of the game.
Yeah, it was, and it changed the game. They would have won if it was called correctly, and instead they lost. And the refs admitted after the game that it was the wrong call. But you can't protest based on that premise. You have to protest based on, like, you have to say that the refs did something that's, like, outside of the rule book. Like, that the call was unfair to even be made or something like that. I think they just do the protest so that people, like... Or like, hey, do you see what happened? Like, they really, like, screwed us over. Like,
but
I don't think it's
to
like,
be fair, we got a complete makeup call the other day against the Pistons.
Yeah, it's true.
I think that was the league's way of saying, all right, we gave...
Interesting.
We lost that Rockets game was our fault. We'll give you all the Pistons. Because it was totally... Dante DiVincenzo dived into Usar Thompson like it was an Olympic, like, diving competition. That man was in there fast. He stole the ball, but then cleaned him out, like... Mm-hmm. And then Josh Hart and one flex on a milkman. Speaking of loud milk, Josh Hart, man, he's a dog.
Speaking of louder milk.
Oh, louder milk? Sorry.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
Speaking of the loudest milk.
Speaking of
Max Struess.
Speaking of
Max Struess.
Yeah. Such loud milk that it will reverberate through the halls of time.
The loudest
what a,
milk.
What a fourth quarter performance.
He's waxing. Yeah, Max Struess.
He's a waxing.
Yeah, he's
a
crazy waxing
shot.
For real.
Max Struess pulled that. What was that? Two nights ago, hit like a
second longest game winner of all time.
That's in comparison to, I think Jeremy Lamb was the previous.
Devontae Graham.
Oh, so the Jeremy Lamb one was like probably the third longest.
Must be
that was. Yeah, I remember that shot.
That one was maybe the craziest one because he really Jeremy
just
Lamb
turn around and chuck.
Know, what was that like 8 years ago or something? Hit the craziest game.
I don't think I want to know how long ago it was.
Turned around and just chucked it up, and it was like so high, like the highest arcing shot I've ever seen, and it went in.
Yeah, but this Struess one might have been better. The Struess one might have been better because it was like a true like he actually squared up. It was like a real shot. He didn't just.
You
huck
could
it.
Tell he yeah. That was
like, that's
calculated.
Like I'm looking at the picture right now. He has the whole shooting form and everything. Like just truly an incredible moment.
But
I
imagine you had a Mavs money line. Oh my god, that is
absolutely
torture.
But we don't like money lines.
No, we don't.
We hate
we
money
don't.
Line. What is
any
a money,
money
line?
Lines.
What is a money line?
We do not do that at all. No condoning that. Do you guys have a favorite buzzer beater or no?
Yeah.
Off the bat,
like game winner.
Dame in the playoffs. Yeah. I don't know which one I like.
Dame time.
Probably. Yeah, it's probably the greatest one of all.
That one is
that
absurd.
One's the greatest.
Dame time.
Oh, that's like I like that. Chris Chioza for Florida.
Chris Chioza.
Should we do it?
Should
talk about the Celtics a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, actually, this is relevant because,
trivia?
Yeah, I recently watched back that cardiac Kemba step back, and I guess this is relevant because so originally on that play, Brad Wanamaker, who went to Pitt, was guarding Kemba, and Brad Wanamaker, obviously Celtics legend, led the league in free throw percentage here. Brad couldn't stick with Kemba after the screen. Kemba got the switch. The rest is history. Step back. Bang, cardiac Kemba. But the other day I was chucking that around to my friends who know a bit of ball, and only two of them were able to say who that was. That, which is honestly, I'm impressed that two people were able to.
I would have thought nobody would have been able to get that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great hoop grid name.
We could do an entire episode of just based off trivia. And to anyone listening, this is not a day where we're going to take calls, but in the future we will be taking calls. No, I swear, if you're an opinionated basketball head who really wants to argue with our anti-Celtics takes, which there will be many of, just
definitely.
Best be assured, we don't believe in the Celtics, or at least I don't. I don't know about
I
you guys.
I agree.
Should we talk about it real quick?
Nugget Celtics, final. Who are you taking?
Nuggets. Wow. Nuggets in four. Nuggets in five. Nuggets in five.
Nuggets in five. I don't see the Celtics losing that many at home. I think Nuggets in five is...
Nuggets in five.
Nuggets in five, though?
I hope it's longer.
I think it'll be longer.
A team is weak if their center getting injured, who's not their best player, will torpedo their chances. If Porzingis gets injured, the Celtics will not win.
I mean,
Latobi
does it.
And he always gets injured.
Tingus Pingus.
I know it's like people are like, oh, the injuries are not a good reason to not believe in a team, but I don't see... It's like Porzingis is like Atlas holding up the world, and the Celtics would like. I know they're technically the greatest statistical team in NBA history right now, like offensive rating wise. But like, I'm not a believer. I don't believe in them.
I like the take. I always think that they're so good in the regular season, but when the playoff series comes around, it's just like they get beat by grit and by defense sometimes too.
But they have Drew Holiday.
I know. They're better than they've ever been. That's the problem.
Yeah,
but
Sam
the Nuggets
Hauser.
Just look so unbeatable. Like when Jokic is moving, like there's no stopping them.
Yeah. I don't know. Are they coming out the West? Confirmed? I don't know if it's confirmed.
I think so.
I don't know.
Mathematically, no.
What about Clippers?
You got
the Clippers
is
the whole like guarding Jokic.
Yeah, Clippers.
So. Yeah.
That's a pretty big problem. Like all these teams in the West, seemingly apart from the Timberwolves, who are structured to beat Jokic, but I think lack the playoff experience and maturity to actually do it. Mm. Maybe they'll take him six, but I don't really see it happening. But like all of the other teams that could maybe beat the Nuggets don't have a defensive center. I mean, yeah, if you want Bol Bol against Jokic, like, who's going to, like, Nurkic is going to get cooked. Chet will get cooked by Jokic. Like, all these teams lack a real center.
Lakers?
Maybe the Lakers. Maybe the Lakers could beat them, but they lost to five last year.
They got Spencer Dinwiddie now,
Gabe Vincent coming back.
Gabe Vincent?
They need Wendy and Gabriel.
Where's Wendy when
Jared Vanderbilt, one healthy, is dog.
Yeah. I've always liked Jackson Hayes. Always liked Jackson Hayes.
Jackson Hayes is good, too. I don't know. The West is going to be very interesting.
West is tricky. When those, looking at the West, there's three, let me pull this up. Like, the Timberwolves, Thunder, Nuggets, and Clippers are all contenders. And two of those are going to have to get eliminated in the first round, or three of them are. Two? Three?
Then you got the Lakers and Warriors, like, licking their chops at playing either the Timberwolves or the Thunder in the first round. I think the Lakers and Warriors both like their chances in those series.
Oh, absolutely.
And I kind of like them, too. Like, I wouldn't say that they would win for certain, but I think those series could easily go seven. And, like...
Definitely.
Then in, like, these deep playoff series, you get LeBron and Curry versus an inexperienced playoff team, and, like, I'm just,
they
like...
They eat that up.
Why? Yeah, that's the environments where they succeed. Like, they don't like the regular season anymore. They have no reason... I think the play-in has drastically changed team strategy. I think it's a viable strategy to not try very hard during the regular season and play through the play-in.
Yeah.
Like, and attack the one seed head-on in the first round as you're rested and ready.
If you push them to seven games, too, the one seed's going to crack, too, a lot of the time.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to lie. You don't even want the... You don't... Like, one and two are not really...
It's a curse.
Unless it's the East. The East is pretty...
It's a LaCurse.
Yeah, LaCurse.
I mean, the Lakers did this 2 years ago against the Grizzlies, or was that last year? No, it was last year.
Last year,
they beat the Grizzlies in the first round, 2-7 upset. But everyone knew that wasn't an upset, and I feel like the Thunder aren't that far from the Grizzlies as good as they are.
Like, I think the Thunder are like 2 years off of legit.
Yeah, and they will be, but just this is not their year, and I think that they would lose to the Lakers in the playoffs.
And they have a plan, right? Take out Josh Giddey. Right,
that was actually, yeah, they do. This is something that Zach Lowe was talking about. In the Clippers game last week, the Thunder made a massive matchup change. Took Josh Giddey out of the second half starting lineup, put in Isaiah Joe, and they're basically talking about how that's a signal of a playoff strategy that they're only bringing out against the teams that they really want to beat in the regular season. I think it's interesting to think about that. Granted, we are pushing up on time.
Yeah.
I wish we had more hours.
I know.
We'll
be back. We will be back.
We will. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. Bright and early.
Bright and early.
Jonah will be back for that.
I might just be alone.
Jonah, about to say, 6 a.m. is...
I will be at home at 6 a.m. tomorrow.
I'll be snuggled up. I think we have a chance to be... I'm you're free at 10 p.m. tonight.
Oh, and you down?
10 p.m. tonight?
I think that's open.
I don't think I can, but...
I would... Wait, 10 p.m.
10 p.m. tonight.
Low-key, look at...
We can discuss.
I would.
I'm still thinking about someone dunking over Putin.
key moment.
And here's the thing: Paul Dano dunking over Putin. That's.
Oh my God. Shall we leave
somebody,
it at that?
We need somebody. We should leave it at Paul Dano dunking over
Putin. That's end us off.
Right. Paul Dano dunking over Putin. Leave that image in your head. We'll read out this last minute.
This has been Airball, and you're listening to 90.